Alan Coleman, you promised the playoffs, it was never in doubt.
Well, how we'd gone this year, yeah, you know, you're thinking with 4 or 5 games ago we could have a couple of games to spare and be in there, and you know what, we've done it the tough way, probably exciting way for fans and build the game up with Barrow and the situation it was today. But you know, I just think we've been a much improved team this year in how we've gone about our business, and you know, we're quite frustrating to watch from a coaching point of view, because it's really difficult sometimes. We're like red hot, and then sometimes we're like, wow, you know, like today we missed 2 tackles, but that player doesn't score, he kicks ball off and somebody else scores. So it was like very nervy. But I just thanked the players in there and said, listen, you were nervous, but you did what you had to do. So yeah, really happy.
I'm not sure the last 10 minutes were that exciting, Alan, to be honest, but in that second half it felt like you'd won the game a couple of times, but Barrow just wouldn't go away, and it's credit to them, because they must have gone in at half time and probably realised at that point the game didn't really matter to them.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of talk going down the tunnel, you could hear, you know, and a lot of our players were saying Swinton's getting hammered, so you know, lads, you know, it's easy time. And but you know, Paul Crester and his team, they want to win, like every, you all want to win every game. So I disagree when people say this and that, and people were saying we're playing for draws potentially, and no, as a coach and as a team, you never want a rugby field to be happy. You want to win the game, and I thought they had nothing to lose, and that's when teams are dangerous, especially Barrow with likes of Walker and people like that. You can just do like a box tricks and things like that, and it worked for him. And for credit to him, he shows he's got a good group, so he'll be happy with that. Paul,
were you pleased how the first half went? You were 8-0 down, but it didn't feel like you'd done an awful lot wrong in going 8-0 down, but you just couldn't get the field position. But were you pleased by when you started getting the field position, that you seemed look like you were going to score every time you got up that end of the field?
Yeah, well, we spoke at half time, and the first 10 minutes we couldn't really get out of yardage. The wind was a lot stronger for staff, I thought. It's picking up again now, but once we got into it and we said the game plan was set for set and they won't live with us if we go set for set, and then slowly but surely we went 5 sets on the bounce, and that turned the game. It was 100% completion in good ball in the first half, and I just thought we took every option at the right time. We kept them honest, we kept hitting lead runners so they tied in, and then it went round the back when they, you know, the defenders were turning in, and I just thought we were really smart first half, you know. And sometimes then you start second half and you go again, and you get a bit overconfident, and that's when teams can be dangerous because they've nothing to lose. But we set out, we did what we did, and I was really happy with how we got the job done.
We talked a bit about game management last week, thought there was a moment where Jack Owens grubbing it into the touch, which was probably an example of that. But what about the call to go for the penalty at the start of the second half, which actually turned to be a decisive moment?
Well, I spoke to Tom Gilly, and he just said, well, where it's going, I don't think we need to. And I said, yeah, I get that. I said, but there'll come a point where it's right near the sticks and it's just too good to take away, because you never know in these games, you know, if somebody gets simbing or somebody gets injured or something happens, an incident happens, you lose a pivotal player. You lose all structure of the game. So let's get points when they're offered. And he did it, you know, and it was the difference.
How important was the bench you had today? You know, 4 big forwards on the bench, and Martin Riley in particular making his debut. It's been a tough year for him, not his fault, of course, you know, bad luck with injury. But the 4 of them, being able to bring them onto the Callum Field as well, who we perhaps haven't been expecting to see this season, how much of a difference did that make?
Massive. And Martin's been ready for a couple of weeks, but it's got a bit right game. You know, you're playing York and you're playing Toulouse, and they're very quick and very... don't give you much time with the ball. No disrespect to Barrow, but they're probably a more robust middle team, and that's Martin's game. I thought he was really good for that 15 minutes. They couldn't put him to ground, he took some whacks, and it was just great for him to get that. His confidence was sore from that, and he's a massive part of the dressing room. Calfield, wow, you know, as everyone knows, we're absolutely busted. And he said, I'll play. He's not fit, he should be playing, but he said, I'm playing. And you know, even though he's taking a year out of the game, wow, what a commitment to a team and a club. So we've just thanked him personally in the dressing room as a group. I know a few players have thanked him, and he said, well, let's go to York and do it again. So I thought he was brilliant, Callum. I thought he was superb. Shane Grady, busted, hardly running, goes on, does 20 minutes, says, right, I'm done again, I need a rest. It's just great. We've got a real good group, James, and a real close-knit group, and I think you've seen all year how much they want to be together.
Might want to be trying to persuade Callum Field not to have a year out if that's
just,
if yeah. The whole year's been about playoffs. You know, you said pre-season, whatever. When you came to Widnes, you know, Widnes hadn't been into the playoffs since the relegation from Super League, and how that was your obvious target and you wanted to put that right, and you've delivered on that. How much does that mean to you, and how important is it for the club as a whole that you've been able to do that?
I think as a coach, you know, I'm big on engagement with you know, got a good friendship with yourself now, and we speak quite a bit at games, we're honest with each other, and then with fans, you know, I don't tell lies, and I say it to my players respect me. I would never ask them to do something or ask them to achieve something if they weren't capable of it, because as a coach you've got to be honest with yourself. All week our word this week's been honest. So we've said we've got to stay honest, keep opposition honest, and just become that team who are an honest group, and that's our foot. Each week we'll have something different, but this week was honest. And I was honest when I come, with knowing the talent we had in the team. We minimum effort is playoffs for this club. Now, this competition is getting tougher and tougher, and I understand that. But we've got to grow as a club, and we've seen that. So we're growing the club from the bottom. But we're also, this will help, that's the word I'm looking for, give confidence within a group also. You know, you saw it with Batley for 4 years. Once they got playoffs, they stayed in there. And they become a team where they beat teams before they played them because they were battling and they're a good team. We've got to create that by witnessing they're a good team again. They're coming back slowly, because that'll win you games what are tight when you might not have the ability to do it. But that mental focus point of where teams fear you, you know, and I think we're slowly bringing that back, and that's what we've got to do. So I'm immensely proud of doing it, but it's not me, it's my staff, my players, it's everybody at the club, everybody, yourself, fans, you've all been a massive part of that for me. I'm just glad we've done it. You saw there today, about 400-500. They were buzzing. It was their day. They're going to go home and they're going to be proud. We put season tickets on sale. Now, if that guy entices you by, well, nothing will. You know you've got a playoff team. We're a playoff team. Nobody can take that away from us. No matter where we finish now, Widnes Vikings are a playoff team. So next year, wherever we finish, we've got to finish. And that's important. And that's all we've got to focus on.
Yeah, I think on behalf of the fans, Alan, I think thanks to yourself for bringing hope back to Widnes and giving the fans something to cling on to, because, you know, the last few years it's been tough, and I think you can see from the reception that you receive from the fans there how much that they're buying into what you're trying to do, and that's all credit to you and you putting yourself out there. Don't want to bask in the glory of this for too long, because now you've got a big game next week away at York. You've already won there this season, and all of a sudden, how do you prepare for that match? Because it's like the pressure's almost off. But I'm sure there's a niggling part of you that's thinking, well, actually, now that we're in them, how far can we get?
Yeah, very similar to Lee, and you know my relationship with Derek. So Lee had to win. They was in seventh position. They had to win to get that fifth spot. They come fifth, so did we. Then they went and played fourth. We're going playing fourth. There's a lot of things together. And I remember when I went for a walk with Derek last week, he said, just take that pressure off them. I said, I've told Lammy, thank you for a season, but you've produced again. We've only second year in Super League. And we're very similar. We won't train. We can't. We won't be able to train. But what we can do this week, we can do some things as a group and really, really enjoy that week. I've just said to him in there, nobody's going to take this away from us. So it's up to us. Do we want to go again? Because the carrot dangling is a trip to France. You know, but we know York's a very good team. They've improved massively, but they've had the players all year for that. So it's vital that we enjoy it, but we focus on it, because we can win there. We've won there and we can win. We played them at home on try each, and they took the penalty kicks. And we weren't great that day. So we'll be confident. We'll go. York won't be looking forward to playing Widnes Vikings, that's for sure. I think Eamon O'Carroll will probably be the happiest man in the world at the moment, because, you know, played three, lost three, and, you know, he's done a great job. But sometimes mentally that gets you wins as well. So, you know, we go to York and we've been there and won, so why should we fear them?
Player wise I know it's tough to stay now. You obviously had your 17 today. I know Kieran Tye was there. Is there any other bodies that weren't today that might be next week?
Benty, you know, you should get the all clear to play next week, and that's a massive plus for us. We lose Sam Brooks with the ban, and Sam's been brilliant last 5 weeks, absolutely brilliant. You know, Sam Wild probably not. Gutted, because we missed him. But we'll see, because it's surprising what that enticement of playoff rugby can bring. Somebody might just say, you know what, I'll put my body on the line, or I can do this, or I can't do that. But, you know, our medical staff will be busy. And we'll see who we can get out there. Whoever we put out there, I know will give everything for this club.
And just a final message for the fans to get behind you at York next week.
Let's just go and enjoy it. We've wanted it for years, you've got it. You know, let's I'm really confident we can take as many as they can put on their own ground. I really do. Let's go and embrace it. Let's enjoy it. You saw Lee go to Salford and take 4,500 fans, and it worked. So why can it not work for us? Because they've been brilliant all year.
Well, they did it. Widnes in the playoffs in time for episode 17 of the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast. You just heard from Alan Coleman. We've gone a bit early with this week's episode just because I was quite keen to get that interview out after the win at Barrow on Sunday. I know that there was a lot of engagement with the fans after the game on Sunday. Alan Coleman and the team showing their appreciation to the fans that travelled. And Mike, as one of those there, what was your immediate reaction? Clearly everyone delighted to have reached the playoffs for the first time since relegation from Super League.
Yeah, just absolutely elated, mate, to be honest. You know, at full time it got a little bit nervy towards the end, didn't it? But we got over that line, and to be honest, obviously there was a lot of celebration afterwards, and it was a real carnival party atmosphere. Plenty of colours in the stands with all the shirts and fancy dress, etc., etc. And to be honest, I just stood back a little bit and just watched it and just took it in. It was really nice to see just coaching staff, players, fans so happy. Obviously, I'm sure you guys in the media as well, mate. I thought it got off to a little bit of a shaky start, though. I thought the first 10 minutes, I thought Barrow was really good. You know, they completed well, and, you know, they was pinning us into some positions we didn't really want to be in. I thought Ince in that first 10, 20 minutes was exceptional. He had all the traffic coming his way in terms of the kicks. I think he dealt with every single one, didn't he? And I think that was a ploy not to target his weakness in terms of his aerial ability. I think it was to probably, you know, nullify him bringing the ball out further on in the set, try and keep him quiet. But fair play to the lads. We settled down, and but towards the end of the half and the midpoint of the half, we was building pressure nicely. I was really impressed with us not forcing things or pushing passes. We was building pressure. We was asking difficult questions. I thought Jack Owens out the back, we've spoke on this podcast before, haven't we? And obviously fans have got split opinions of him, but I'll stand by this, that I don't think there's a fullback better than Jack in the championship that close to the line. I think his pass selection at times is brilliant, second to none, and he was just popping up in places all afternoon, causing trouble. I thought Matty Fozard picked out some really important passes to send us over for some tries. Just simple stuff, isolating defenders and, you know, letting the big forwards do the rest. And then second half, I think the news trickled on, didn't it, that Swinton was comfortably, you know, getting beaten. I think we've seen the shackles come off Barrow, didn't we? And, you know, let's have it right. You know, they scored some really good tries themselves and really played part in what was a really entertaining game, and fair play to them. You know, I think, you know, the breakdown the left-hand side was phenomenal, and they finished under the sticks. That was, you know, arguably try of the game. But we had our moments as well in that second half. I thought especially the Mike Butt try, I mean, the length, Joe Lyons has passed that. It's missed, you know, two or three men out at speed, and to pull that pass out while you're in full flight running yourself, I thought was phenomenal. And overall, a fantastic win, and certainly one to remember, James.
Yeah, I think Alan Coleman said Widnes were a bit nervy. I don't think Barrow didn't get particularly close, I don't think, to scoring in that last period of the game, but Widnes just had trouble finishing them off. They always were ahead, but Barrow just wouldn't go away. And as you say, I thought it was a good finish by Clark, to be honest. I know he's playing in the back row, but he's almost the sort of strike centre Widnes need, I should say. But I think Jack Owens got caught out twice, didn't he? Showing players the outside in that second half. But the amount of ground that he covered during the game, I think you'd probably let him off that. I actually thought the last Barrow try was a mile forward from the pass from dummy half, but it didn't matter a great deal in the end. I didn't actually think Widnes did an awful lot wrong in the
in the first 10 minutes, it was just Barrow started well and Widnes struggled to get out. But I think once Widnes did build some field position, they showed that they were able to, they were capable of scoring, and they scored a few tries in different ways. There was a couple of crash overs. There was a, like you say, that flowing move to the right hand side. I probably would have put money on Matty Fozard scooting over from dummy half, to be honest, after in the first half, but he never quite managed it. But Widnes did what they needed to do, and I'm glad obviously that Widnes did. I'm pleased for Alan Coleman. I know I got the feeling maybe he was getting a bit anxious about, you know, because he as you'd said in the last week, I think that he'd sort of promised the fans playoffs, and I don't think people would have held it against him if they hadn't made it. But clearly that was a clear aim for the season, and I think over the course of the season, the way that Widnes have played and the way everyone's acquitted themselves, they deserve to be in the top six. I think they'll be disappointed that it got to the last game, because Widnes have been a lot better this season than just squeezing in on the last game. They've just had a couple of runs of games this season where, like, if you look at the record, the sort of, they've just had two clusters of bad games, I think, in the season. But generally, on the whole, it's been a very good season. And I think it would have been a shame if Widnes hadn't made the playoffs. And it's great for everybody that they have. And as Alan Coleman says, that's the new standard for Widnes now. And it always should have been. Widnes should always, in this division, in Championship, Widnes should be almost a playoff team by default. And now that's the bar that's been set. And I'm sure the bar that everyone will look to maintain.
100%, and fair play to Alan and the coaching staff, and obviously the staff off the field as well. I think the worst kind of scoreline we've had, taking obviously Wakefield out of it, was that Doncaster game, which was a blip. Other than that, even when you've had your off days, you've been so competitive. You look at things like on Sunday, the bench. Dan Murray was leaving the stadium on crutches the week before. Martin Riley's just come back from a long layoff. Callum Field, we're led to believe, wasn't really fit. And Shane Grady stuck his hand up. And well, then players come off the bench and they actually lifted us, you know, and got us on the front foot to the point, you know, where half-time was coming. You didn't want half-time to come. And, you know, to instill that into the players and the staff, and, you know, to get that all flowing together, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. And like you've just rightly said there, you know, the fans would absolutely not have held it against Alan if we didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, the saying is, isn't it, I suppose, you know, you get what you deserve over the course of a season. And I think fifth place, you know, not to sneak in by sixth in the end, so I think fifth, I think it is credit to the lads and probably what we deserve, because for large parts of the season, like you say, we was hanging in third and fourth position.
Yeah, I definitely think top four, got into a position where top four was definitely in Widnes's hands, and they just let it slip. But I think that was us getting greedy more so than anything else. The bottom line is the target was the playoffs. They've got their next season target might be top four. Now, the playoffs is changing next season anyway to a top eight, and you'd like to think Widnes will definitely be in the top eight ones. But of course, getting in the top four has a distinct advantage next season. Yeah, there's a home advantage this season, but there's a real advantage in finishing the top four next season, because you can afford to lose the first game. So I think that'll clearly be a target. I suppose the main thing that caught us all off guard, I think, was that we had anticipated Widnes playing Bradford in the playoffs, largely because it was pretty impossible for it to be any other way, unless Sheffield lost at Dewsbury, and somehow, I mean, Dewsbury only won one game in the entire season, managed to knock Sheffield off, and Sheffield didn't even reach the playoffs, which is sort of ripped up perhaps the playoff journey that Widnes anticipated, because by the sounds of obviously what Alan Coleman was saying, that a trip to Toulouse was a potential carrot, and ultimately that carrot's almost being taken away a little bit, because you're now dependent on Featherstone beating Bradford to get that, to be able to go to lose. If Bradford do beat Featherstone, Widnes or York will play Wakefield away.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that result, you know, up at Dewsbury, I mean, for us putting the podcast together, it was probably the only angle of the playoffs we didn't really speak or look at, you know. But that result just shows, doesn't it, that anything can happen. And I know they got a good win against Swinton at the weekend, Bradford, but that, you know, that they've not been in the best of forms of late. So, you know, that game is, you know, there for Featherstone to win as well. Literally anything can happen. And as for us going to York, again, they're the form team. Of course they are, apart from Wakefield, but it's not exactly mission impossible, is it? If we've seen performances this year, yes, we're going to go up there probably as underdogs. But I think the club will probably quite enjoy that, and I think it'll probably help us going up there. I think since Mark Applegarth has got into the job, he's always been up against it, hasn't he, at York? Whereas at weekend, because of how they've finished, it'd probably be the first time where they've got proper pressure on them. You know, they've
kind of got something to lose, whereas previously they've been building towards it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right.
I think, like Alan Coleman said, Widnes, the game at home to York, ironically, was the game. If Widnes had won, they'd have had, it'd be an easy streak for the last few weeks because they would have been in the playoffs. You know, it might have been York might not have made it. But even though York were the better team at Widnes the other week, it was still only, what was it, 12-6, 12-8, something like that. And there was one try apiece, a couple of penalty goals was the difference. Widnes have won at York this season. And as you say, I think Widnes can go there with no pressure. There's no expectation. Anything now from here is a bonus. Don't get me wrong. We're all ambitious. You know, we all want teams to be successful. And I'm sure this time next year, if Widnes are in the same boat, you'll be saying, right, we need to win the first game. But with this being the first time Widnes have been in the playoffs for so long, it's almost like you're just there to enjoy the occasion. And that suits the way Widnes are at, because as Alan again said, that the down to pretty much whoever wants to play, he's playing pretty much, it seems to be what's going on. So, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting one. Can I have a rant about the scheduling, Mike?
Of course you can. I mean, to be honest, James, you're not the first person who it's caused problems to. Well, I can assure you of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed that there's been no official reason given. For those of you who aren't aware, it's on Saturday at 3 o'clock, which, of course, for those of us who work in both football and rugby, causes some aggro. And for me, given that 95% of the championship season is Sunday, 3 o'clock, I mean, Widnes only really played Toulouse on Saturday because it's a French team. There's no other reason. It's just frustrating that the game at York's not on a Sunday. Now, I'm not aware of official reason that's being given, Mike. You might be. But York's women are playing St. Helens in the Women's Super League Grand Final on Sunday at 4:30. I can only assume that maybe it's something to do with that.
I mean, I have heard that, and I've also heard that obviously the RFL wanted to keep the two fixtures on separate days, which I don't think that adds any, you know, any figures onto any attendances. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing. I mean, from my perspective, for such a competitive, fascinating league, you would like the RFL or whoever it may be to go, right, we're a month away from the playoffs, map out who plays on what day, at least a month out. Not if you finish in the positions, say if you finish six and you play X, you play on this date, and so you kind of know where you'll be.
I was actually looking at York City's fixtures because I half wondered whether that might dictate, but it looks like they're away this weekend and they're not at home, I don't think, for the next couple of weekends. But yeah, I mean, for me, I just think they've got to be on Sunday. They've both got to be Sunday, whether you have one at 2, one at 4, or one at 3, one at 6, something like that. I mean, if the argument is so they can be shown on some YouTube channel, I'm not, like, that's not a massively compelling argument in my opinion. Like, I'm already thinking on Saturday, I'm going to probably have to miss the Wigan Lee game because I'll be driving home from York, whereas on a Sunday, that wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have been an issue. I have got some positive news about this, Mike. I don't want it to be me whinging on. But I'm in Hull on Friday for BBC for the Super League Hull KR Warrington. And they're not quite holding me hostage, but they're making me stay over in Hull on Friday night to make sure that I get to York on Saturday. But the good news is that Widnes is going to be the main, is going to be the featured game on BBC Radio Merseyside on Saturday. So they have the Saturday afternoon sports show every week. Because Liverpool are the lunchtime kickoff, I believe, this week, there's no feature game at 3 o'clock. So they're putting Widnes on full commentary on the radio. So it won't just be online only, it's going to be on the radio. So as far as I'm aware, that'll be the first time Widnes have been on the actual radio waves or whatever they're called for the first time since the Super League era. So that is at least one positive.
Fantastic. And let's hope we can do it justice as well. What a game for it to be the first one.
Yeah, and like I say, it's just great that you've got that Saturday afternoon, people tune in to keep up with the football and stuff, and the main game is going to be that Widnes game, and it helps maybe build that interest and gain some profile, if you like. And I know it's only local radio and stuff like that, but it's a nice thing to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Every little helps. And again, like, I sound like a broken record, but any little wins like that going into a season ticket campaign launch, what have you, even if that helps one or two or three people get back into it and think about buying a season ticket, then it's job well done as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so looking forward to it on Saturday. Would have preferred if it was Sunday, but we'll let that one lie now. It's Bradford-Featherstone the other game. Bradford had a thumping win over Swinton at the weekend, and the smart money, I think, would be that Bradford would win that match. And as I say, that would then mean Bradford faced Toulouse away. As Alan Coleman alluded to, I think Bradford will probably be quite relieved that they've avoided Widnes in the playoffs, given Widnes's hoodoo over them this season. But as we've said, Widnes won at York, so I think it's a tough one to call. I think maybe, I don't know who York would have preferred to have played. You might argue that they might have preferred to have played Widnes based on the teams that are in. But I think perhaps a sign of how good the championship's been is that it is hard to call these games.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, no doubt about it. We know who the favourites are in both games, ever so slightly. But, you know, it won't put it past you if, you know, Widnes and Featherstone both won at the same time. It really wouldn't. But regarding us, look, whatever happens. But where I stand really is, the lads really look like they're enjoying themselves at the moment. And I think that little bit of pressure that was on our backs has now been lifted. And a Widnes side under Alan Coleman, who is enjoying themselves, who has got nothing to lose and everything to gain, going into, let's have it right. You know, we like a big pitch, and, you know, York Stadium, you know, the pitches is always a good pitch as well. I imagine we'll go and try and express ourselves and go and have a go. And I think we could be a dangerous animal, and I don't think York will be sat there all comfortable this week. I really, really do think that they're going to have to be on the metal, and they're going to have to produce the best to beat us. I think, from my personal thoughts, and to state the obvious, you know, if we can manage to do a number on Atarigano, we've got a hell of a chance.
I think the other thing that bodes well for Widnes is they have shown an inherent ability to stay in games even when they've not been playing particularly well. And clearly when you're in a knockout game, that is a useful strength to have, because the other team, you know, maybe when York are winning 12-6, 12-8, whatever at Widnes, and it's only a league game, they don't feel as much pressure as when there's a knockout game, and you know, the other team won't just go away. So I think that could be a potential advantage for Widnes. It's Widnes' first playoff game in the Championship since 2011. Of course, the playoffs were meaningless that season as well, because Widnes were already going up to Super League. Got beat by Sheffield at Bramall Lane, if you recall. I seem to remember, I'm sure there was more Widnes fans than Sheffield fans that day. Sheffield were a good team in that era. The last time Widnes won a playoff game was 2009 at home to Whitehaven, and then I think Widnes got beat by Featherstone the week after that. Technically, it's the first playoff game in 10 years. That Warrington game in Super League playoffs 2014 was the only time Widnes have qualified for the Super League playoffs. I actually missed that game, Mike, because ye of little faith, I'd booked a holiday the week after the season and had to watch it in a bar in Spain, which was very bad planning on my behalf. I'm not counting the Super 8s as playoffs, because for me, the playoffs in that era was the top four, just before anybody hits out at my stats.
You're not really having much luck there then, have you, with playoff visits? But it should be a fascinating weekend. Where do you think the game could be won and lost then, if we're to try and dig into it a bit further?
I think, I think the evidence from the previous two games has definitely been that Widnes have struggled with Hengano. They've struggled to put pressure on him. He's got a big kicking game, but he's also very good defensively as well. And I think he's been probably the difference between the teams. If you recall, when Widnes won at York, he went off injured. I think York have almost done it the other way around to Widnes this season, where they had a lot of injuries at the start and they've all sort of got fit now, whereas Widnes are maybe going the other way, running out of bodies, running out of steam at the end. I think Jack Owens holds a massive key, I think, to it. I think if he can influence the game like he has been influencing games, certainly in attack the last few, York will struggle to handle it. It's just, can they get enough pressure on Hengano to hurt York and hold him back? I think you also lack a little bit of, because of the hooker situation, I think you lose a little bit of that intensity in your kick pressure, because, you know, with all due respect to Matty Fozard, he's tackling his heart out. He can't do three tackles in a set and then be chasing the... you would probably say it's the hooker who should maybe put the kicker under pressure. Whereas I think if you were maybe utilising your interchange hookers, maybe he'd be the sort of person that you would say, right, can you get out to him and shut him down? So they've got a big pack, haven't they? And they've got good quality players. They've got quick outside back, quick big. They've got big outside backs as well that they can get the ball to. But for me, I think I know what you're saying. York are the form team. I think York are probably the best team outside of Wakefield at the moment in the comp. But I still think it's there. I still think it's a winnable game for Widnes. And I suppose, having watched the Super League playoffs, two excellent games in terms of entertainment last week, that's what it's all about, the playoffs, isn't it? All the games should be like that. So here's hoping that it'll be there'll be plenty of Widnes fans there. And here's hoping it'll be a good game.
100%, mate. And I think you summed it up perfectly well there. The one thing I would add to it is, and I'm sure we will get it, because there's a big crowd going down there. The Coach Iger one, it's nearly sold out. The two buses, Kieran's taking a bus. I'm sure Jeannie will be taking a bus. You'll have stayovers. So anybody who wants to get on the coaches, if you go on the Widnes Vikings Facebook page, Mark and Tracy, their contact details are on there. Widnes Vikings away travel. They pick up on Liverpool Road, the stadium, Halton View. Kieran, he goes from the village. And then Jeannie, I think, goes from the stadium. So, you know, the seats are hot property. So I'd get yourselves booked on as soon as possible. But the only thing I'd add to that, James, is when we played York at home, we didn't really put ourselves in a position where we tested the defence all too much because we was making mistakes so deep in our half. The thing I'd like to see and test them and really, you know, stretch York is, you know, like we was doing on Sunday again, we got back to it, we was building a bit of pressure, we wasn't forcing passes, you know, we was putting, you know, kicks into challenging areas and going, right, yous need to go 100 metres to score. And let's make them feel a bit uncomfortable and see what comes of that, because for as good as York have been, which fair play to them, they really have, on that day at home, we didn't put them under pressure, so we don't know how much we can, you know, test them and get to them in attack.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we've got this out early this week because we're not making any concrete promises, but we're hoping to do a bonus podcast episode later this week if we can get hold of a few people. So if we do that, we'll break down the game a little bit more. We might have some more squad news. There might have been there might be some other info to share. Who knows? Certainly, yeah. If you're not on a coach already, make sure you do. Either way, we'll definitely be at York on Saturday, but hopefully you'll hear from myself and Mike before then. In the meantime, reach out on the Facebook page, Widnes Rugby League fans. We'll go through your questions and stuff in the episode later in the week. But from myself and Mike, it's happy playoffs, happy podcast, and we'll see you later in the week.